Lesson from last week, actually it was last Sunday's morning preaching service, and now we're going to finish it up here in Sunday school. Let's pray and ask God's help. Father, we do thank you for the day and thank you for the love and grace that you've given to us. Pray for each teacher again as they instruct their students and for the students that they would not only listen, but that they would learn. And dear Father, that they may take the truth that's taught to them and assimilate it into their life and their daily living. Help us to do that as well, Father, that our lives may be changed and worked by the Spirit and conformed to the image of Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. The benefits of being a Christian, that's what we're dealing with. And last week we looked at the matter of we are to be holy. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 15, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. And we are able to be, by his grace, holy as he is. Amen. Now, of course, being God, he is sinless, and we will not be sinless. We acknowledge that. But we are nevertheless expected to live holy. And we're to live differently than what we did before we got saved. Thank you. In holiness, that affects our sanctification. Now, that is definitely a theological term. It's definitely a church term. Seldom, if ever, have I heard it outside of church circles. But the basic emphasis of it is that we are to be separated to God. And if we are sanctified in the tabernacle, and the various instruments were sanctified, they were separated, set apart. The table was like probably most any table, all right? The candlesticks were like candlesticks are. And in your life and my life, every ordinary daily thing that we have and how we live is very comparable to our neighbors. But they are to be sanctified by us. Our life is to be set apart for God. What we have, that car out there. Oh, speaking of cars, I'm going to say this again in church. Pastor had his car brought over. Dark gray Toyota Avalon. When you go out the door, it's to the right. You do want to look, open the doors and look in. Now, listen, the kids aren't here, but I'll tell you, don't sit in with dirty shoes, okay? Pastor has a doormat that he put over there where he parks the car, and he makes Sister Ruth Ann wipe her feet before. At first, you thought I was going somewhere serious, didn't you? But, go look at it. It's a blessing to see it there. And but that's not just any Toyota Avalon, okay? It's made like all of the others, okay? Only they left the yellow out of it. You know what the yellow is, don't you? You don't know what the yellow is in a car? Lemon. They left the lemon out of it, okay? And it's like every other dark gray Toyota Avalon. But because Pastor has a goal of living holy, it has been set apart, sanctified for God's use. Now, when he goes down to the Dollar General, just like his neighbors and everybody else in the area goes to Dollar General, when he goes there, it's different. because his goal is to be holy. Therefore, his trip is separated, set apart to God. And that's true for every one of us. Now listen, that's a mindset you have to get. Because that isn't the way the natural man thinks. And we must be careful that we don't, as Christians, think that, you know, most of the time we're just like everybody else. And then when we come to church, or when we have our devotions, or if we listen to, you know, like you're in the car, and I've started listening to CD music coming out since I'm traveling alone. I started listening to CD music. And if you want some good music to listen to, you go to YouTube and search in there for the Chuck Wagon Gang. How many of you heard of the Chuck Wagon Gang? Okay, you go find good music. All they have accompanying them is a guitar. And it's like third generation from A.P. Carter was the first one. I'm telling you, you'll get a blessing. If you listen to some of them songs and your heart doesn't get stirred, you need revival. I'm serious. That it's good music, Chuck Wagon Gang. You find it on YouTube. Anyway, where were we now? We're getting holy, okay? And we're in the car driving. Now, this is something I've already confessed, okay? I have to deal with. I've got to set apart. I've got to sanctify my driving. Because the speed limit isn't a suggestion, okay? It's set there. And you say, well, they're ridiculous. They may be. But we're to obey, according to the book of Romans, the laws of the land. And that's a whole other area there. Now, holy, we're to have to be holy. And then we're to be helped. We are helped by God. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 16. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace. That's a time in prayer. Boldly means confidently, not brazenly. Unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find what? Grace to help. You see, the help of God is going to come and is provided by His grace, and it's in time of need. Now we must have His grace even when there's no particular need in our life. But here he's talking about the fact that there are times when there are particular needs and we want his help. And so, we don't have to remind anybody of that. When we're having a problem, whether it's financial, interpersonal, in a relationship, whether it's physically, an illness, we all know then that we need his help. And he says we are to come confidently to the throne of grace. Not timidly. He said boldly. We don't have to come apologetically. We're his child. Your child doesn't have to apologize when they come to ask you for something. Okay? They might feel they need to because of how you react when they ask or talk. Okay? But God doesn't react the way we do sometimes. All right? And so we can come boldly. And then the third one we did last week was honored. John chapter 12. I like this one. I had to have read this verse many times, John chapter 12. But in preparing for last week, John chapter 12, verse 26, just took on a new attention and emphasis. And if any man serve me, well, that's what we do. Remember, boy, that was a blessing when I went all around sharing about serving and how people serve. And we just one task after another, we came up. Driving out here, I had prayer letters for Grace and Autumn Ford to pass out. And I got to thinking, did I think about that last week when I was going around on service? Did I mention, did I? Oh, good. Thank you. I feel better about that. I don't want to leave that out. Those girls so faithfully, about every 3-4 weeks at most, when we get hand out prayer letters, those girls take them and pass them around. And that's a great service. And if any man serve me, let him follow me. Okay, our service is not supposed to be done just as a task for our own satisfaction or our own attention. If any man serve me, let him follow me. And where I am, there shall also my servant be. And if any man serve me, watch this, him will my Father honor. Wow, God's going to honor us for doing the things we do and serving him. Not just in doing things in serving him. So just like sanctification, okay, a car is not just a car for the Christian. It's an instrument that's been set apart and dedicated. I've known of some families that have done that. When they've gotten something new, like a car or something else around the house, maybe a washing machine, they'll actually get at it. And as a family, and like with the car, they'll lay hands on it and pray and ask God to bless it. And they want to give it to God. Now, I've never done that. I've heard of it. I like the idea, but it isn't something that just comes to me. You know, even now as I'm saying it, I think to myself, well, we got a washing machine here about a year ago. And, you know, I had bought so many typical washing machines that, you know, in 3-4 years, they break down and you get another one. Finally, I listened to my wife. You know, that's a good thing, fellas, okay? Now, help me remember, washing machine and wife, because I'm going to lose it when I do this. There was a comic. There was a comic in the newspaper this week, and it showed, the little Viking guy, and, whoever he was. Hagar, thank you. Yeah, Hagar climbs up the mountain, and he gets up there, and you know, there's usually a sort of fat wise man that sits on the top of the mountain to give out advice. This time, there was a woman there. A female, yeah. I didn't say lady, because I don't know if she was a lady or not. Because she's a female, it doesn't make her a lady. Okay, just like because you're a man doesn't make you a gentleman. And so, anyway, he comes up there and he says, you're a lady. And she says, do you have trouble taking advice from a woman? And he says, nope, do it every day. I did then what I'm doing now, laughed out loud. Now, where was I?
Washing.
Yeah, it's washing machine. So I listened to my wife, and she said, you know, we ought to get a good one this time. So I went online, and I researched it, and I came up with the only American, this might be a commercial, the only American-made washing machine. Others are all made in Thailand and Korea. And that's Speed Queen. Okay? Now, we got one. I like it. It is all, and I had to go to Bradford to get it. And the store, it's on that main drag. I don't know how to tell you where it's at, but it doesn't look. You know, you'd never stop there and figure, well, I need an appliance. Let's stop here. It looks like they may be closed, and you know, they needed to wash the windows. Half of the stuff they were repairing was sitting out in the display area for the new machines. But I went in, the lady, she gave me the insole on it, and it matched what the website did. Bottom line is, we paid for it. We could have bought two at Home Depot for the price we paid for the one. Okay? But my point really isn't to give you all the features of Speed Queen. It's to tell you, I listen to my wife, and it's good that we do listen to others. Now, he tells us here, if any man serve me, him will my Father honor. God will honor us when we listen to him. And we need to do that. Now, though that's the review. Now we're going to pick up today with the benefit of being a Christian is to be hidden in his presence for help. You see, we don't just live as we are now, and then when we need some help, Then we look, you know, and we pray, and God out there, way out there in heaven, and if we're theological, we know in the third heaven, the heaven above the heavens, heavens. Okay, that's where God is, and somehow we want him now to come. What do we have? Sometimes we have a concept of Hagar crawling up the mountain, finding the wise man. So here I am living my life all ordinary and everything. Now I have a big need. I go to God and I want him up there to come down here and help me. And you know, because you're church people, you know that we have God living in us, right? The Spirit of God. When we're born again, his Spirit comes and lives within us. So it isn't a matter of praying and expecting God out there to come down here and help. He's already down here in us, and he'll work for us. Now, he is in heaven, no doubt about it. Understand? But what I'm trying to get along and hear is that we are hidden in his presence for help right here on this earth. Psalms, if you will. The book of Psalms, and we want Psalm 27. And verse 5. verse 1 is a very familiar verse. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Now we want verse 5. For in the time of trouble, he shall what? Hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me upon a rock. You know, when we're needing help, we need security. And security we get comes from God. In the time of trouble, he'll hide me in his pavilion. A pavilion is a place of shelter. And that's where he indeed takes care of us. Now, verse 4, again, is another familiar one. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. That was what David wanted. He wanted to be able to be in the presence of God. And that's, we're hidden in his presence. Verse 5, in a time of trouble, he shall hide me. Then Isaiah, still in the Old Testament, Isaiah chapter 49. Isaiah 49 and let's look at verse 1. Listen, O isles, unto me, and hearken, ye people from afar. So God is directing this not only to his people, the Jews, not only to the nation Israel as it exists there in what we call the Holy Land, but he's going beyond that. All the isles, that generally refers to not only islands, but lands beyond. And he specifies that. He said, listen, O isles, unto me, and hearken, ye people from far. God knew that the United States, or God knew that there was a North American continent.
That's right.
Now back then it wasn't called North America. I don't know what it was called, but it was here and God knew it.
Amen.
And it's only my opinion, but I believe there was a whole lot of other people that knew it. We acknowledge, and I agree rightfully with calling Columbus the one who discovered America. Now, we know there were Vikings here before and all other kinds of people. That the continent was here and South America was where it's at. And Cuba was where it was at before it was called Cuba, okay? It was there. God knew it, and he says here, to the isles unto me, and hearken, ye people from far. The Lord hath, oh my goodness, now listen, we think to ourselves, now everything in the Bible and all of Bible history is centered in Israel, centered in, like I said, what we call the Holy Land. That's where it was all centered. But it was centered there, and it went way beyond. Now listen, if you want something marvelous to read,
you get a book, I knew I'd do this. Richards is part of his name. And I just forgot the title of the book. That's awful. But it shows how God, he was a missionary, and he is a linguist, and it tells how indifferent. Do you know that in Burma there was a people, they're still there, the Karen people. You have to roll the R, is what I understand. The Karen people. Yeah. And they had a prophecy that was given to them to watch for a white man. Now, they never saw one. But they had a prophecy that was given to watch for a white man with a special book. And when a Christian missionary went, Don Richards, okay? Don Richards is his name. Maybe the title will come to me. I don't know. So when the first Christian missionary went there, he was a white man and he had a special book. And they received him. And the understanding that they had of Jehovah God, okay, it was awesome. And he tells, the book's about this thick, and story after story. You see, God had a witness of himself beyond the United States of America. And we're just blessed that today God has us as part of that plan. Now, where's it going to take in the future? I know we're all looking for, desiring, and wanting the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. But listen to me. We need to live, in one sense, as if he were coming tomorrow, set apart for him. But in the other sense, we need to live as if we're going to be here for another 100 years. Because you see, if we live as if he's coming tomorrow, we'll slack off on things. And yet, if we know that he's not coming yet for 100 years, well, then we got to, you know, get our nose to the grind wheel and what is that saying? Do you know what that saying is?
Nose to the grindstone.
No, nose to the grindstone. Well, I need a lot of help teaching this lesson. This one, when you don't stick with your notes, okay? God has a lot to do, and he has a lot for us to do. And so he says, the Lord hath called me from the womb. Now we're reading in Isaiah. From the bowels of my mother hath he made mention of my name, and he hath made my mouth like a sharp sword. In the shadow of his hand hath he, what's the next words? Hid me. Yeah, we're in the book of John, it tells we are held in the hollow of God's hand.
Amen.
And we're hidden with him. Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 3. Colossians 3 and verse 3. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. And because that's the case, because our life is hid with Christ. Now, what does it mean that you're dead? He's writing to people that were very much alive. They're dead in the old nature, dead to the old man. They're to be alive in the new life that God has given. And therefore, he said in verse 2, set your affection on things above. Now, affection there isn't just the emotional way of, like, we have affections. I have affection for my wife, okay? And it's emotional. Affection here is in whatever's important, whatever motivates you, whatever it is you live for, okay? Set it on things above, not on things of the earth. Now, we live on the earth, and therefore we must take care of earthly responsibilities. Okay? I'm not, in no way do I want to leave you with the thought that we don't have to be diligent about, we got to pay our bills on time. We've got to pay our bills, okay? And we need to have a house that looks decent. Not only decent, it looks good. And we need to mow our lawn and keep it in order. Now this one hits me. We need to wash our car. Okay? If I wash my car, it's just going to get dirty again. One day I thought to myself, I need to take the car to the car wash, but it was too cold then to use my hose at the house. I'm cheap. I'll wash it at the house. And I don't go to the car wash in the summertime, okay? I thought, well, if I wash the rain, and there's a forecast for rain tomorrow, why bother? It's just going to get dirty again.
Well.
Yeah, okay. But you know, really, I shouldn't drive around in a scum bucket. You say that has nothing to do with the Christian life. Listen, you get that kind of mentality,
right,
that it doesn't matter.
Right.
And it's going to show up in other things.
Okay, well.
It's going to show up in the sloppiness of a person's dress. It's going to show up in the carelessness of how they talk.
Uh-oh.
Okay? And at the store, you ever been at the store and you have some things, some purchases, and you're in a hurry, and there's another person coming up to the checkout, same time you're coming up to the checkout. Do you walk a little faster to beat them to the checkout? I see I'm not the only one. We're so complex. And therefore you get up, you know, to a point to say, I've done this already. I was rushing. I really wanted to get there. And then the Spirit of God convicted me. So I got there and I said, look, go ahead, sir. Go ahead, ma'am. And then it's not uncommon. They'd say to me, no, that's all right. I'm in no hurry. You go first. But they might have needed to get in there quicker, okay? And so, this is Christian living, folks.
Yes, sir.
And it's a shame when too many unsaved people have more character and demonstrate more character than what Christians do. This is something we have to work on, you see, because we have an old nature. Now, listen, you might have a nature that more just sort of naturally, Pat is like she has a nature, even if she wasn't saved, her nature would have her to be kind. She sees that person rushing, she's not going to rush too. She's purposely going to slow up to let, okay, so that person can get through. That's just how she is. You know, you live with that. That's why I call her the Holy Spirit's helper. Because just seeing how she lives, it's convicting. But that's how we need to be. Now, some of us have to work at it because it's not a natural inclination that we have. And work at it, we must. Okay? We must demonstrate this is the grace of God. Okay? And so we must demonstrate that. So hidden in his presence for help. And then the last one is we need to be happy in his love. That's the benefit of being a Christian, to be happy in his love. We have that as Christians. Now we don't have an inside track on happiness. There, like I said, there are other people that know happiness. But you see, our happiness comes not just from what happens, but it comes from the presence of God in our life. There's nothing wrong with having happiness. There's nothing wrong with wanting happiness. I heard a sermon one time that preached against happiness. You ought to have the inner joy of the Lord. And the contentment that Christ gives you, that's what you should have, and not just happiness. It doesn't depend on what happens. And you see, the guy was driving home one point of the subject, but to the neglect of others.
Yeah.
But it is so that happiness If it's based on what happens, okay, then we're not going to have the happiness that the Bible talks about. In preparing, I went and looked, what is happiness? Okay? Now, you know, I'm so thankful for the internet. Okay? Because I had a fair-sized library, but I never knew which book to look in. Okay? And I'd end up looking through a half dozen books and still didn't have the right one to find. So what is happiness? Define happiness. Well, you go to the dictionary and you get a dictionary definition. Okay, that's nice. That still doesn't give me what I need to know. I was able to type in, what is Bible happiness? It took me to a King James Version dictionary definitions, and I didn't have enough time to read it all and assimilate. I assimilate, big word for it. I take it in slowly, okay? But here is what I got for this morning regarding happiness. It's an agreeable sense. See, now a lot of times we can't define something, but we know what it is. Okay, I have that a lot of times. I can't define. Give me definition of a word I use. I can't give you definition. What do I do? There. That didn't help. And so, it's an agreeable sensation. Coming from good. It's pleasure. And then I learned this. It's of a comparative nature. And it varies with a person or an experience. The illustration they gave is a person in pain. When they get relief from that pain, it brings happiness. But you see, I'm not in pain. So I don't get happiness out of the fact that I'm not in pain. But Dale, when he's in pain, when he gets some relief, now he's got a pleasurable sensation. He can call that happiness. And in another, happiness, it comes when they achieve a goal. There's something I'm trying to do. There's something I want to achieve, and I work at that, and then I achieve that goal, and I'm happy about it. It's a good thing. And so we are to be happy in God's love. If you look at Psalm 144 and verse 15, Psalm 144 and verse 15. Happy is that people that is in such a case, yea, happy is that people whose God is the Lord. Now let's look at the context of verse 14. Talks about, and there's even more that you'd have to go by way of context, but notice just the verse ahead of it. That our oxen may be strong to labor, that there be no breaking in nor going out, that, here, this is what I'm wanting from this verse, that there be no complaining in our streets. Okay, no complaining. I'm having a problem. Okay, then what you need to do is get hidden in the presence of God. You need to get help from God. We covered each of these. You see, these are connecting one with another. So happy is that people that is in such a case, not a complaining case. That's happy. See, you get in a complaining, murmuring spirit, and you get that kind of attitude, you're never gonna have a sense of happiness. Because you're focused on whatever it is that you're complaining about. And so there are benefits to being a Christian. And I trust that the ones we covered last week and this week will be of a practical help, because that's the intention. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you for your love and grace. Certainly all of your goodness to us. We are thankful for it. Thank you for each one that's here in the service this day. I pray in Jesus' name, amen.